And I feel perhaps that we being the children of God, and God understands how frail our frame is, and how far off sometimes our thinking is. Now, I want to tell you something. When it comes to the foundations, the fundamentals, the basics, God allows no room for error.
Amen.
But I marvel sometimes how much God will just let us think on some things that really don't have hardly any foundation.
Amen. That's true.
I don't want to take time to develop that thought tonight. But I have had many feelings about heaven for so many years.
Yes, sir.
I have thought and tried and longed to go and some part of the way. And it's to go to the
track.
How many want to go? I don't mind saying the elements, and while I get a lonesome blue season come all over me. There's no place really down here that satisfies me. I live north, south, east, west. I don't know what I am. They call me a Yankee, and I'm really not a Yankee. I'm a Westerner by trade. And I've lived in the south for a while. I've been everywhere but on the east coast. But I will say one thing. I haven't found anywhere down here that satisfies me forever and
tomorrow.
I have become a restless, impatient person. It's basically just a rain here about something else God has prepared for them to live. And I'm also living home. In the 21st chapter, I want to read just a few verses. You see, this is a time of tender moments. The beloved apostle and disciple whose head was many times leaned upon the breast of the Master, he has been banished to a lonely island where there's nothing but the break and the dash and the foam of a wild sea. Nothing but the screams of wild birds overhead. Nothing but a lonely rock prison to which he had been banished. That's it.
All right.
40 miles from shore, here in the middle area of Asia Minor, a lonely island that they had made a prison for bad criminals. He had done no wrong, only loved the Lord. And while he was there, the Bible says that he was in the spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
That is, he didn't get happy on Sunday.
No.
Simply means that he saw the day of the Lord when it was coming back to his world. Everybody has their day, but John saw the Lord's day when he was coming as King of Kings and the Lord. In the ink of inspiration and begin to write for our generation in the end time, our hearts forever throb with the meaning of the words that he said. I'm again tonight, and I've got to say, I thank God on that lonely island where no one was around. He wondered what he was doing there, but God said, I want to show you something that no one's ever seen. And he'll bless not only you, but my church throughout the ages. And I want you to stand in the last day as if you were already there, maybe the lowest skyscraper is, or an airplane, or an automobile, or anything else. But you're going to try to write about it because I'm going to give you a picture of the last day.
Yeah.
And John, my brother, how in the world can we expect him to write very graphically in new dark terms, which we call in the dark times, about certain inventions which have come into prominence in the last 100 or 200 years?
Right.
How can we expect him to use all the same words so much metaphor and word pictures in here, but then he goes and he dives out of his nose in the earth and he pulls back the curtain off of heaven
for you.
And he lets you see what's on yonder, and is it right? And he begins to write it down. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I now saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I'll tell you what, I'll be glad when God brings the curtain down on all of our yesterdays. And I've got so many pleasant things that I want to remember, but there's some things God knows I wouldn't ever want to think of. And all of my dear darling relatives, my daddy, who is 91. Oh, yes, sir. He's still a cancer. And it hurts me as I think about a lone mare and he not being there. But God wouldn't let me remain miserable, young man.
That's right.
Amen. Right. Right. For Dad has never been born into that family. Well, I'll never know him.
Right.
He was never in the family. But there, God in His mercy is going to blot it out. And there's some things you'll never know. Listen to what He says. He just sat upon the throne and said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega. The beginning and the end, I will give unto him that is the first of the fountain of the water of life freely. Oh, I get to think about heaven sometimes, but I began to envision. I began to try to put together all the things that will be there. I don't know what it looks like. But we talk about the hills in heaven. We talk about the river of life and the tree with the leaves that are for the healing of the nations. And we talk about singing, and we talk about angels, and we talk about the great throne of our God, and over it an emerald rainbow. All of that is so beautiful. And of course we want to be there. And of course we get to talking when we go to heaven what it's going to be like. We just like to kind of make believe. And here is where our fairy tale begins sometimes. We try to talk about heaven in terms of earth.
Sure.
And somebody said, when I go to heaven, I just want to rest there for 1,000 years over here in the shade of an evergreen tree. Well, I've got to God's business. And I don't think it's all going to be a great vacation. But I do know we have our work cut out for us. But we'll enjoy every minute of it. Praise the Lord. And I was so thrilled as I began to read, and I looked at the last chapter and I saw what wouldn't be there. So much of the things, I'm so glad that wouldn't be there. But then when I come into this chapter, I begin to see what would be there, and then a few things that wouldn't be there, and it disturbed me. So I'm taking you back here to the first verse. And I want to direct your attention to the last little clause in verse 1, chapter 21. This became a problem to me. It really did. Because John said he looked up there and saw a new heaven. He said there was no more seed. No more seed. And that bothered him. He wrote that down, first of all. Before he put anything else. Or he put anything else about all the castle walls and the foundation stones of Chalcedony and Monix and so on, whatever they are right now. But he put all that down. But the first thing he put down was what you wrecked your mind off was there was no more seed.
No more seed.
It wasn't there.
No
more seed. And you have to understand what the seed means to some people. How nice that is to have a seed.
Yeah.
I was born a long time ago. I was a young boy, 15 miles from the ocean. We just always go there and pick up seashells, all kinds of seaweed, and your little Japanese ball, those glass balls used to break off the Japanese net when they fish. They'd come clear across the Pacific and wash up on the shore. I'm often in gathering. We just starfish, plants, all sorts of little shells. See, going to the seashore all the time and take off your slippers and just walk barefoot.
Yeah.
I like the smell of the sea.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow when you have a wheel rose, it tastes better right there on the seashore. And the sunsets are never so beautiful as they are when we listen to the soft sobbing of the gentle sea.
Oh, yeah.
And I go to sleep and it's cool always on the seashore.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I'd have to get a blanket over me. We spent a night on the seashore. Just listen to the surf as it would break and crash and dash and roar and watch the white caps as they come in.
And we
watch the ships as they sail by and listen to the screech here of the dying birds as sometimes those on ship would throw some food out, and how those birds would just skim by and pick it up and go on. So grateful. So gentle. But there was no more seed.
No more seed.
How often have artists stood there and looked at the ragged, jagged rocks out there off the coast, and they would try to paint it. They tell me the hardest work for a painter is to capture water. And it's all right for maybe to outline a mountain and make a tree. And put the neck to your things, your perception and all. But when you try and take water and make it real, your work cut out for you. But John said, I looked, and the first thing I noticed about it was there was no more soul. It's just not there.
Oh,
I said, John, I'm telling you, there's no more seed. And this is the problem. There's a fascination about seed. You told me there's no good thing you could hold and then walk up back. The sea, incidentally, is a great means for commerce. You see, across its trackless waste, their ships, they run their ports, and they go from the Oxus to the Orient. And they take their ships laden with all kinds of goods around the globe.
All right.
Simply because it's the way you do trade with people.
Yeah.
And we couldn't do without a sea, but this man says that it's no more. It's a source of pleasure, it's a source of many things, but here it's all done away with.
I know.
No more sea. Well, before I try to interpret what I've said, I want to start at the book of Genesis. Looks like we're going to have to go through the Bible to prove my point.
Oh, thank you.
Chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 in the book of Genesis. Praise the Lord. All right, put on my hands today. And God said, let the waters up in the heavens be gathered together into one place.
All right.
And let the dry land appear, and it was so.
Amen.
All right. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seed. And God saw that it was good.
I
there was, you've got only 126 words in describing creation. Of course, if God would have us write it, it would take us a library. And it wouldn't cover it. The God-man just used 126 words. 50 of them were used to describe the earth and the sea. 25 alone being the gathering of the sea. Notice that it is a plural noun, sea. And then notice again, they are gathered in one place.
All right.
What God is trying to tell us here, that the seas are all united and are one body.
All right.
Now, if you're going to make a little evaluation of content, I want you to know that roughly it's about 143 million cubic square miles of water, and all that you have is about 54 of land. You have about 3 to 1. 75%, 25%. Really, it's not bad. It's 73 and 27. But I just rounded it off for you. Now, there is a balance. I want you to know that the God that I serve does all things well. There is no accident about anything that he does. If God puts a finger down in this Bible, it means nothing. There's no mistake in the Bible that I have opened.
No.
There's mistakes in our ability to understand it.
Sure.
But the Word of God directs.
Yeah.
I heard a preacher preaching that God didn't know about the plan of salvation, and then he had to make a change, you know, later on as he went down. I want you to know God understands things we see not.
He is
never surprised. Jesus Christ was never surprised. Any one time.
Right.
When he ever called his apostles and said, "Boy, let's have a war meeting. I need some advice." He was never disturbed. Always maintaining the poise of the King of Kings that he is. But let me just talk to you. Everything on this globe depends upon one thing, the sea. Without the sea, there would be no life on earth as we know it. There wouldn't be anything at all here. And then the Bible says there's no more sea.
Does that mean it's all going to go?
Now, in the making of the sea, this is God's special doing. My God is holy. And he made the heavens, and he made the earth. And he said, "Well, I'm going to make me a little project all over my world. I'm going to make me a world." And he fashioned the world, and he sent it off spinning into space. The Bible said heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. He just put his feet down on it and kind of keeps it around, and that's why it's spinning.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And then he said, "I will make 3/4 of it one.
Yes.
Gather all together into one thing.
Amen.
And then I'll let the rest of it be land. And I'll call it earth." That's what he said. Now, take the book of Psalms 95 and chapter 5. Listen to what the Lord has written here for us. The inspired psalmist says, "The sea is his." Who is it belong to? The sea is his. Everybody say his.
His.
His. His. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hand is formed the dry land. John, thank God for that. He made it. His hand formed it all.
Yes.
And that big sea out there belongs to God.
Praise
the Lord. He made it. It's just like you want.
Right.
And the sea has some strange properties about it. You'll find that you have south seas, and you'll have arctic seas, pieces. You have some in Western climes. You have some that are peaceful, some that are boisterous. There is a difference between the Atlantic and the Pacific.
Sure.
In all of that, you see, they differ. They differ as far as climate is concerned, not only in water temperature, in salt content. They differ in so many little odd things. They have various things about them that are different, but yet they are the same. For instance, let me ask a question. Why are the seas salted? If they were not salted, you'd find that pretty soon that would be one great big putrid mess. So they purify. So God allows salt to be in that ocean to kill all things that are harmful.
Sure.
And then he gives it a balance.
Yeah.
If it were to get too salty, nothing could live. For instance, in the time I spent in Salt Lake City, we had the Great Salt Lake. Some of it's dried up. Now they just throw races over. See how fast they can go. It's flat and packed hard. But what's left of that salt sea? Maybe 75 miles long. There is nothing that can live. No fish could live in the Great Salt Lake except a little brine shrimp about a quarter of an inch long. Nothing else can live. It's 5 times saltier than the ocean. The only other body of water saltier than the Great Salt Lake is the Dead Sea in Jerusalem, and that's all. But God has it all there to put a balance. If you would take out of this balance 3/4 sea, and let's say you would cut it in half, you only have 1/4 planet. That means there wouldn't be enough rain. As it is, there's 1,500 cubic miles of water that falls on the ground a year. If the seas were smaller and you had more land, every green thing would dry up on Earth. There would be no vegetation. You think you're short of water now, you know
that.
If the land area were cut in half, there would be so much rain, everything would be a Louisiana soil.
It
would be much possession here. I mean, he loves this. It's exactly that. And Luther, it just says, wouldn't be all the room for anything. But God knows what he knows. And then he said, well, now that's fine. And I'll just solve it. But you see, there's some parts of this sea that are in warmer planets, more temperate zones, so you have more water evaporation. Which means that the water is more salted. If it stays that way, it everything is good. But God says, well, I'll be back. I'll just put me up a little system here to kind of mix it up. So he installed a mixing system in his
seat.
He put two great mixers in each of our vast oceans. Two in the Pacific, two in the Atlantic. And the northern mixers, which are really rivers, running in the ocean.
That's what they are.
They are streams. The northern ocean, they will go clockwise. And the southern streams, the rivers, they will go counterclockwise.
Sure.
This is the way it happens. If you ever go south, it'll be quicker. And what water when it runs down the sink? In your land here, it goes down this way. But now there it goes your way. And then God, I'm with you in school, brother. God said, I'm going to meet you up. Let's take, for instance, the Gulf Stream that flows out of the Gulf of Mexico. It is a vast stream of water. 3,000 feet deep. 70 miles wide.
Jesus does. And he takes warm water, 86 degrees, and runs them all through the Atlantic. But then we have hot countries down below, but God said, I'll make better. So he gets the Labrador current, and it's coming down, and lo and behold, here is your Gulf Stream that's in the way, but that doesn't stop it. It dies underneath it. And goes all the way underneath it and comes up again way down there, and then it warms the awakening. I'm talking about a God that this is his project. And he made it this way. And his feet. He's still in the way he wants to. And so he just mixes it up. He says, that's good. He wants it. I'm here. I'll zoom it all. It's cold there. I'll warm it up. I'll be there. I'll make that water up. And I'll carry it all around. Even it up. Now, then God says, well, we gotta keep everything going, so he lets the sun turn all real hot. Yeah. It draws the water up out of the sea. Yeah. It just sucks it up, clouds form, carries it all along, and gets over Fort Worth and empties the whole thing here today. Hallelujah. And it's just still by the time it gets there. Just hold your nose down, and it'll be 100% pure. Thank you.
Yeah.
The moon's just right. I tell me when you drive a low when you stop to the moon
did.
And suddenly you get all the
sense. Oh,
come on.
The wind's blowing down on me. being animal.
With the
right.
And then again,
I want to say that there is another little thing about this thing that I want you to consider, and it is this. The thing is made up of three elements. Three. You have this hydrogen, which is one of the greatest explosives known. Now, hydrogen bomb, what you think that can blow up? You see, your balance is wrong. You have to have proper components, proper parts, proper balance to make things go. But it has in it a certain part of hydrogen. Then it has nitrogen. And nitrogen, there it is, explosion. That is the problem. And then you have oxygen. Oxygen is what you have. Let's say you're running a curtain door. If you want to melt steel, then on there. Don't bring your line of cigar in a sick room where somebody's got the oxygen on and it's talking. And I want you to know my Bible does say this, that the elements are going to melt
with the first and the other.
And you say, what's going to happen?
It's going to burn.
It was going to burn out.
I was in Houston after a meeting with Kevin there, and I
We were eating at noontime, right downtown. This guy was packing in about that hour. At 12 o'clock at noon. Hail, rain, we're in, blow a building down. You know what? Something happens to everything. It looks like. And you haven't got anything concrete to trust in to stand on anymore. All you can do is look up. And that's right. Here's Mother Dean, she's come over, and Sister Dean, and the little kids, they come over, they were living in the trailer house, and they're afraid they're going to be blown off, and they sure will, that's all you got.
That's right.
So he said, if we come and spend time here, and of course, they had some of the dead room left to it. And as I went by up to this country, there was tornadoes here. Tornadoes and dead. I went out, West Texas, tornadoes there. There is terror. Something is going on in the world. Terror. The sea is a form of terror. Terror is in the land. Tell you what, you're not safe anymore.
No.
I'm afraid to see your Los Angeles and we'll never watch one more. I'm in my own Main Street. In a rucker. For all the hoodlums and rickrack.
Well, I didn't fear nothing.
Fall and
and we're about to fall in love. Well, and then I won't lie, I won't get on the block, because my hearing where we used to see Mr. Miller, and he had all those cats, and we're here at home, so he was a bootlegger, and he had all this Latin stuff. And over here is a plant, and all of us are making a house. Now, I was in school, and I looked at the school room. I looked at the little chairs and the last. Well, I didn't think, okay, I'm a good student. And that's why I graduated. And he graduated in 8th grade, so he made it. And I was a whole lot of years ago, but I didn't have a picture. And I never went and got my diploma from the school. But I, depression was all on, and I looked at all that. Then all my friends had grown up and gone. And the house was so ugly and run down and everything else. And finally, it appeared in my eyes and I turned to my mom and said, hey, go. Somehow, it wasn't like I remembered. I was sorry I had gone that. I thought I had to be there. I thought I must go. I can't stay away. But when I got there, it had changed so much. I was looking. And the people I used to know, they somehow didn't meet me friendly. Or in the casual, hello, good to see you live. It's been a long time to sit by and then go. And I go, well, you know, I'm all kicked off 2 days and a half this day. And they were all alone. It's such a shame. Have you ever had someone who you trusted and went back to see him and suddenly noticed his pain and said, what have I done? What's wrong? There's so much to change. It seems like we're changed with the wind. The sea could be so calm just right now. And without words. Oh, well, that's what he meant, and he was just so loud. God is in the middle of that situation. I can't remember to hear that been born. And I remember that man, and here comes a big, big wind, and a little boat, I don't mind being in a little boat in the middle of it. But when you're in a little boat in the middle of it, it's a problem. So I had to get out of there, and it was glad to do it, but now, people change very quick. Everything changes in here. Your wife and your constitution change. Your life is being changed. I'll tell you what, your whole lifestyle is changing. But I read to you tonight, and I said this to you, there's no more change. No more peace. There won't be that.
Well, no, no.
And that's why I was in the
life.
That's why I took it away. I was in the whole job.
And the sea also can be a symbol of mystery. There is so much about the sea that they're not able to understand. It has retained its secrets. It has kept its treasures. No one has ever found its depth of its meaning. Just by it sends you down there. You will crush the strongest vessel made. The pressure is so great. The sea is confusing. Life is so full of mystery. And if we open the Bible, this is the greatest book of unfolding mystery under God. We have the mystery of God. We have the mystery of the church. We have the mystery of dominance. We have the mystery of Israel. They talk about the mystery of iniquity.
Right.
There's many mysteries in the needle right here.
Right.
So much that is unknown. You know what a mystery is? If a mystery involves, you don't know it yet. But there is an answer. And so the God is so often mysterious. But I'm not in the Bible tells me there will be no more Jesus. The Bible has this to say that the mystery of God is what? It's finished.
one more dollar.
But God told me if I love him and live for it,
come up with the whole thing. And I feel like I'm going to.
away. Because I was thankful to be here, my husband and I. The Lord is here, and we can be back. July the 4th, next year. I trust that everybody will still be going on with me. Thank you.